Ara Vakunja Vihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopijana Vallabha Giridhara Hari. Gopijana Vallabha Giridhara Hari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Soda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Dham Vishapad Paramhamsa Paribhajikacharya Asto Tadastara Shri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srinam Sankirtan, Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai, Go Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru, Sri Gauranga. Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nasta Praeshwabhadvishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yuttama Sloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Krishne Swadamo Pagate Dharma Gyan Adibisaha Kalona Stud Samesha Parana Koduno Dittaha. Before I start, I just want to read a little bit from this Srimad Bhagavatam Mahatmya, just so we can try to appreciate how fortunate we are to have Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada knew how important it was, so he started Srimad Bhagavatam class in all of his temples way, way back. And this is what it says here. The Supreme Lord said, O Grandfather Brahma, one should regularly hear the famous Srimad Bhagavatam with faith. Know for certain, such hearing is the only means of satisfying me. One who daily reads Srimad Bhagavatam will attain with every syllable the result of giving a brown cow in charity. One who daily reads or hears even half or a quarter of a slok of Srimad Bhagavatam attains the result of giving 1,000 cows in charity. That's a quarter verse. Vaishnavas like Prahlad Maharaj are always present wherever topics of Srimad Bhagavatam are discussed. Those who worship the Srimad Bhagavatam are beyond the jurisdiction of Kali. It's a good enough reason right there for me. In the age of Kali, I become very pleased with those who regularly worship Srimad Bhagavatam in their house and dance without fear. O my son, as long as Srimad Bhagavatam is present in one's house, for that long his forefathers consume milk, ghee, honey, and water. One who with devotion gives the Srimad Bhagavatam to someone, he resides in my abode for millions of kalpas. And then Bhaktisiddhanta's famous quote, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, if all the literatures and scriptures in the world are burnt to ashes, but only Srimad Bhagavatam remains, nothing is lost. So how fortunate are we that we get to read Srimad Bhagavatam? And we get to distribute it too. That's also extra credit. Okay, here we go. The marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. This is text 16, 3:22-16. Kama sabuyan nara devatesya. Putra samam naya bidhau pratita. Ka eva te tanayam nadyeta. Swayaiva kantya chipitim iva shriyam. Kama sabuyan naradeva tesyu. Putra samamaya vidhau pratita. Kaiva tetanayam nadriyeta. Swayaiva kantya chipitim iva shriyam. Bolo. Karmasthanaradevadesya. Devate tanayam narieta. Saiva kantya chipitam ivasriyam. Kama sabhuyan naradevatesya. Putra samanaya vidau pratita. Kaiva tetanayam nadriyeta. Sayaiva kantya chipatim iva shriyam. Kama sabuyan naradevatesya. Putra samanaya bidhau pratita. Kaiva tetanayam nadriyeto. Sayaiva kantya chipatim ivasyam. Kama sabuyan naradevatesya. Putra samanaya vidhau pratita. Kaiva tetanayam nadriyeta. Sayaiva kantya chipatim iva shriyam. Kama sabuyan naradevatesya. Putra Smanaya Labda. Aiva te tanayam nadiyeta. Sayaiva kantya chipitim ivasyam. Kama. Desire. Saha. That. Buyat. Let it be fulfilled. Naradeva. O King. Te. Your. Asyaha, this, Putya, the daughter, Samanaya Vidau, in the process of Vedic scriptures, Pratita, recognized, Ka, who, Eva, in fact, Te, your, Tanayam, daughter, Na Adriyeta, would not adore. Svaya, by her own. Eva, alone. Kantya, bodily luster. Chipatim, excelling. Eva, as if. Sriyam, ornaments. Let your daughter's desire for marriage, which is recognized in the Vedic scriptures, be fulfilled. Who would not accept her hand? She's so beautiful, by her bodily luster alone, she excels the beauty of her ornaments. Purport. Kardama Muni wanted to marry Devahuti in the recognized manner of marriage prescribed in the scriptures. As stated in the Vedic scriptures, the first class process is to call the bridegroom to the home of the bride and hand her to him in charity with a dowry of necessary ornaments, gold, furniture, and other household paraphernalia. A dowry. Wow, wouldn't that be nice? You marry somebody and the parents bring over all this stuff. Maid servants, imagine that? Hey, dear, this is our honeymoon, and guess what we got? We got 300 maid servants here. just a... That'd never work. Kali Yuga, that kind of stuff would never work. I want the cows with the gold on them and the horses and the chariots, all that stuff. You can get anything. Also, it's important to notice, I mean, I'm sure you all do, that this is not just ordinary boy, girl, you know, get married, live happily ever after, Disney kind of thing. This is the person who's a devotee who's meditated for thousands of years and had personal darshan with God. And Devahuti, she's no ordinary lady. It's amazing. She's the mother of Kapila Dev. So everything about them is just completely amazing, especially that thing he made that they could fly around the universe in, you know. Get one of those. Somebody gets a Tesla, I'm getting that. Anyway. This form of marriage is prevalent among higher class Hindus even today, and is declared in Shastras to confer great religious merit on the bride's father. To give a daughter in charity to a suitable son-in-law, good luck finding that, is considered to be one of the pious activities of a householder. There are eight forms of marriage mentioned in the scriptures, in the scripture, Manu Smriti. But only one process of marriage, Brahma or Rajasik marriage, is now current. Other kinds of marriage, by love, by exchange of garlands, or by kidnapping the bride, are now forbidden in the age of Kali. What does that mean, by love? I like you, you like me, let's go? I mean, I don't get it. What is that? Nobody explained that. I've been listening to the classes, and that's one of the ways people used to get married, by love. Hopefully, it's always by love, right? You want to marry somebody if you don't love them or they don't love you. Anyway. This we'll never know because it's Kali Yuga. Formerly, Kshatriyas would, at their pleasure, kidnap a princess from another royal house, and there would be a fight between the Kshatriya and the girl's family. Then, if the kidnapper was the winner, the girl would be offered to him for marriage. You imagine that these days? I want to marry you. I'm going to come over there with weapons. I'm going to kidnap you. I'll kill your family if I can't have you. I don't understand that, but whatever. There's a lot of things I don't understand. Even Krishna married Rukmini by that process, and some of his sons and grandsons also married by kidnapping. Krishna's grandsons kidnapped Duryodhana's daughter, which caused the fight between the Kuru and the Yadu family. Afterward, an adjustment was made by the elderly members of the Kuru family. Such marriages were current in bygone ages, but at the present moment, impossible because the strict principles of Kshatriya life have practically been abolished. Since India has become dependent on foreign countries, the particular influences of her social orders have been lost. According to the scriptures, everyone is a Shudra. The so-called Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas have forgotten their traditional activities, and in the absence of these activities, they are all called Shudras. It's said in the scriptures, Kalo Shudra Sambhava. In the age of Kali, everyone will be like Shudras. The traditional social customs are not followed in this age, although formerly they were followed strictly. And actually, Shudras, they're not like that. Creatures that we have roaming the planet now. Shudras had things that they had to do, and they did them. They weren't just laborers. Anyway. Om Gyanachimaranasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksuranimitamdina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Katanchana Smrite Yasmin Duskaram Sukaram Bhavet Vishmite Viparitam Shat Sri Chaitanyam Namamitam. It's funny that she was so beautiful that when people saw her, they were like, because I couldn't help but read this next thing. When Vishvavasu, the great Gandharva, his mind stupefied with imagination, fell off his airplane after seeing her playing on the roof with a ball. It's like when Rukmini showed up too, princes fell off their horses. They just saw her and went, whoa, and they fell off the horse. So this guy fell out of his airplane just from seeing Devahuti. You know, she's on the roof playing ball, and he goes, what's that? Whoa! He just fell on the ground. That's what happens. That's why it's important to practice sadhana, because if you don't practice sadhana, you might find yourself falling out of your car, or I've fallen out of a lot of things, but I come right back, and I say, oh, please, don't let me do that again, and we have a program here that if we follow it, we can actually be successful. And Prabhupada said you just have to be sincere and serious. And if you're sincere and serious, and if you practice, I mean, it's going to take some of us longer than others, but still, I have faith that Prabhupada's going to save me and the process works. And I have personal examples of devotees that I know that have been practicing the way you're supposed to for 50 years, and I see the results. They're blissful, they're happy, they're spiritual people, they're not attracted, they're not falling off their horses. So what we have to do is take it seriously, chant japa, meditate. It's the hardest thing, at least for me, to do is to meditate. It's much easier for me to read, which is what I do a lot of. I chant my rounds because I promised I would, and I believe that the holy name is going to purify my heart. But it's really... It's an endeavor to meditate and just sit there and hear the holy name, which is all you have to do. If you can just sit and hear Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you get out of the material world. And I don't know about you guys, but this place is no fun and it's not getting any better. And as much as I love sense gratification, I still don't want to have to take birth again. And Prabhupada said, if you have one inkling of a desire, then you have to be awarded a body. Because that's the deal in the material world. This is school. We've come to school, and it's like a military school where you have to go, and they punish you if you don't learn. So if you don't learn at this time, you have to come back and try again, and nobody wants to do that, right? Like if you're in school and you're in fifth grade and somebody goes, you didn't pass, you got to go back to fifth grade again. That would be like a horrible thing. So if you blow this opportunity, not only that, this is not just an ordinary opportunity. This is the once-in-a-lifetime of the universe opportunity, because if you don't get this golden Kali Yuga age now, you got to wait 999,000 more Kali Yugas. Because every 1,000 ages, there's a Kali Yuga where the Lord personally appears. Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And he's, what is he doing? He's awarding prema. So you don't want to blow this. This is a perfect opportunity to take shelter. I just want to share some of this from, this is one of the Bhagavatams I read a lot, the song of the Avanti Brahmana. And he, I recommend reading this chapter. This is 11:23. And there's so much in here that's really relevant, but I love this because I do Zooms and I do classes, and people always ask stuff like, how do I, you know, chant my rounds? How do I follow the principles? How do I get up early in the morning? How do I control my mind? And I'm like, practice, practice, practice. That's the only answer to that. There's nothing you can really do except surrender and practice. It says here, because this Brahmin, this Avanti Brahmin's going through some hard times. And he, I mean, really weird stuff happens to him. But he doesn't lose his conviction. Anyway, he says at one point, these people are not the cause of my happiness distress, nor are the demigods, my body, the planets, my past karma, or time. Rather, it is the mind alone that causes happiness and distress. It is the mind alone that causes happiness and distress and perpetuates the rotation of material life. The powerful mind actuates the functions of the material modes from which evolve all the different kinds of material activities, goodness, passion, and ignorance. From these activities in each of these modes, developing corresponding statuses of life. I have become engaged in enjoying objects of desire, and I am entangled due to contact with the modes of nature. All the senses have been under the control of the mind since time immemorial, and the mind himself never comes under the sway of any other. He is stronger than the strongest, and his godlike power is fearsome. The verse says, Bhishmo hi deva sahasa sahiyan. The powerful mind, godlike power of the mind. And what does he do? Well, failing to conquer this irrepressible enemy, the mind, whose urges are intolerable and who torments the heart, many people are completely bewildered. And it goes on. But you see, we're living in this body. We have our mind, we have our senses, and the mind, who is our enemy, unless it's transcendental, and that is possible. I'm just speaking from myself. My mind has all kinds of stupid ideas, and you just have to push back. Because like it says, the mind, the uncontrollable, powerful mind, what does it do? It tortures your heart. Now, I don't want my heart tortured any more than it's already been tortured. I've had enough torture in this life, and so I'm afraid of the mind. I don't want the mind to make me do stupid things. It sounds easier than it is, but it's actually difficult. And I used to say it's a lifelong process, but who knows how many lives it's going to take. But I'm not giving up, and I don't resent the principle. Prabhupada says that in the Bhagavad Gita very clearly, that even if you can't follow what you've promised your guru you're going to do, if you're sincere and you don't resent the principle, you can still make advancement in spiritual life. And, you know, it might take longer, but that's all right with me. I'm here in the material world, and it's either get out or stay here, and I don't have to think about that much. So, also, marriage. It's an interesting subject because everybody gets married. I mean, almost everybody ends up getting married. And usually when you talk to married people, a lot of them say the same kind of things like, oh, my husband, oh, my wife, or oh, she's this, or oh, he's that. And you're like, why'd you get married? It's Dilvi Kaladu. Prabhupada gives the example of the Deli Ladu. It's those that have had it, they're suffering, and those that haven't had it, they're suffering. So there's no way around it. You can't just pretend to be a renunciate. You can't. I mean, I was a brahmachari for a few years, and you know, I was young, and I was with good association, and somehow or other I did that, but it was... It's inevitable, pretty much, for everybody who has to get married. If you're really fortunate and you get a Vaishnavi to marry, then you can practically get away with it. Because I've known some devotees who got married to devotees or people that weren't devotees, and that was even harder. Not that it's easy. I mean, even if you're married to a devotee, there's all kinds of stuff you got to go through. Luckily, the kids come, and they're a big distraction, and I'm really blessed. I have three really nice kids, and we're still waiting on that other grandbaby. She's supposed to come on the 15th, so we're waiting. We're hoping she doesn't pull a Shukadeva Goswami on us and sit there for 16 years. Of course, it'd be pretty far out. You have a baby that can do that. Of course, Chandi wouldn't like it very much. But anyway, so you get married, you have kids, and what do? Well, you give them prasadam, and you take them to the temple, and you try to get them to chant japa. And good luck with that. But if everybody chants japa, and if everybody pays attention to their sadhana, at least they'll know. I mean, my kids know that when I get up in the morning, I chant, and I read, and I, you know, people call me, and they want me to do a Zoom, so I do a Zoom. And I whip out the books, and I start telling them about Krishna, because jari dako tahe ko Krishna upadesh. That's what you're supposed to do. Your only mission in this life as a devotee is to become a devotee. You're supposed to become a pure devotee, and then help others, because they're lost too. It's like yesterday. This kid was sitting in his car. He looked like maybe 17, you know, young teenager. So I go up to him, and I give him the lollipop, and he pulls out his wallet. He's handing me a $5 donation, and his mother comes running over. Hey, what's going on here? And the boy goes, I'm giving a donation. She goes, oh, no, you're not. And she looks at me, and she goes, what are you doing? I said, it's a benefit. We're trying to help people. We're spreading knowledge. And I showed her the book. She's like, well, what are you doing? It's my son. What are you asking a kid for? And I said, well, the kid's driving. I mean, he's not really a kid, is he? But, you know, what are you going to do? It's Munda Sumunda Mateo, Munda Bhagya, and, of course, Upadrutya. They're always disturbed. And the lady just saw me trying to take money from her kid. Another thing that was really nice, this old couple, the guy's holding the book. He's 86 years old. The wife was a little younger, but they were in their 80s. And he's sitting there. He loved the Beatles book. And I said, you just give a donation. We don't sell them. So he goes to reach, and his wife goes, no, I got this. So his wife pulls out her purse and gives me $2. And she walks to the car, and the husband goes, here. And he pulls out a 50, and he goes, here, don't say anything. And he hands me a $50 bill. Because that's the way Sankirtan is. You just never know. I mean, you know, you might go out there and you might meet nice people. You might meet not nice people. You might get arrested. Who knows? You never know what's going to happen. But I love it. I love going out in Sankirtan because I see these people and I think, what if that was me coming out of Walmart with a shopping cart full of meat and stuff, you know, and just going to hell like nothing's wrong, you know, and then somebody comes up and goes, hey, idiot. Here's this. Next thing you know, they're eating prasadam, and they have a book in their hand, and they gave a little sacrifice to Krishna. So when I see them, even though sometimes I don't want to do it, sometimes I don't want to go out. I didn't even want to go out yesterday. I was tired, but I had to go out. I said, I got to do this. These poor people, I feel sorry for them. And when I get out there, it's always some reward where somebody like this other guy yesterday, I met him in Newberry, and he looked like he was sleeping in his truck. And when I saw him, I thought, this guy looks like he's living in that truck. And I went to a couple other people first. And then I went, all right, I'm going to go get this guy. So I go over, and he just lit up when he saw the books. He loved the easy journey to other planets. You know, there's a yogi, and there's chakras. And he grabs, and he goes, oh, I love the chakras, man. And so I gave him a whole bunch of books, because when they like it, I like to load them up, you know. And it just surprised me, because he looked so covered over, but as soon as I gave him the book, he just came back to life, and that keeps me going. That kind of stuff, I always thank Lord Nityananda for that kind of stuff. You get a little nectar out there once in a while. Somebody does the right thing, or somebody appreciates it. Had a guy come back the other day. They drove around and came back about a half hour later, and said, "We didn't really look at these books very closely. We really like these. You got any more?" You know, so I go, yeah, come on over to my car. I open the trunk, and I load them up with books. I got 30 covers in my car. And again, that kind of stuff just makes you feel like I'm doing the right thing out here. And there's other days out there where it's a lot of negativity and a lot of harassment and management and police and stuff. But most of the time I'm out there, it's pretty good. And if you move around a lot, which I have to do, then you avoid meeting management and security and police and stuff. But whatever does happen, I always think, because I drove like 80 miles to get down to the Villages, and I was thinking, God, I hate driving. I'm on 75, there's a crash, you gotta wait. But then I thought, Prabhupada got on the Jaladuta. So compared to getting on the damn Jaladuta, that old rusty tin can from India, and with nothing, you know, a bag of puffies and 600 Bhagavatams and 40 rupees. So I was thinking, all right, stop complaining, Div. Prabhupada did this for you. You can do a little for these others. And I know there's sincere souls out there and meet them all the time. I meet the other ones too, but that's all part of it. It's just like when Haridas Thakur and Nityananda went preaching, what did they do? They chased him down the street, threw stuff at him. Get out of here. Get out of here. And that's Nityananda and Haridas. So, you know, I shouldn't be surprised if people throw stuff at me or arrest me or harass me or chase me down the street. One time we were doing a show. It was a big, it was a fair, you know, when they have like some rides and some animals, one of those state fairs. And we went in and started working. There was three of us. And they caught us and said, you can't do this. Get out of here. We said, okay. And then we went around, came in the other door and came back out. And we started doing it again because any good Sangirtan devotee would do that, you know. And these guys, man, these guys were serious. They took us, they walked us to our car. We got in the car, and then they got in a pickup truck, and they followed us down the road, and then they tried to run us off the road. This guy came up, we had a little Toyota, and I was going as fast as I could. I said, and they're going, they're coming, there's a huge pickup truck. I'm like, ah, and it was night, you know, we're driving along. This guy came up and hit us with his truck, and we went off the road. Now, we didn't get hurt, it just messed up the side of the car, but we were laughing, you know, because it's insane. What were we doing? We were out there distributing books, transcendental literature, giving people books, and they come out and they want to kill you. That just made me double down and want to do it even more. Because I believe that the Lord has given us chances to participate in Sankirtan. And if you take advantage of that opportunity, like I was talking to the Russians the other day, and they were saying, Prabhu, we don't really have a temple. We don't really have a, because there's a lot of groups in Russia, different, and they're such nice devotees. And they have such good questions, and they're super sincere. And they go out wherever they are in their village, and they have Harinams. Even there's like three or four devotees, and they have a few books. And they make some sweets, and they give out the sweets, and they give out books. And they show me videos of them doing that. And then they ask me things like, how are we supposed to do this? Because we have jobs and we have our families and we have obligations. And I go, that's all right. You do it whenever you can. You have your dharma, your duty. You have to take care of your family. But I gave him the example of Vaisheshika Prabhu, who started the monthly Sankirtan festival. And you can make a vow to go out once in a month and distribute books. And if you go out once in a month, and you'll be surprised if you try that, if you surrender to that and go out and touch the pavement, you'll end up doing it every weekend. That's usually what happens when devotees get a little taste. And I told the devotees, I said, look, put your little books with you wherever you're going, when you go to work, whether you go, whatever you have to do. And then if you give one book out every day, that's 365 books every year. And that's something that adds up. Somebody's going to get those books. You don't have to quit your job and go on full-time Sankirtan and wonder how you're going to exist. I don't recommend that, especially these days. It's pretty hard to find a place to go and do it. We used to have legal places like the airport. You just go in the airport and it was climate controlled. It was always busy. It was awesome. But now you're on your own out there. Wherever you go is, and you just never know who you're going to meet or what they're going to say. I mean, usually they just come out and say something like, what are you doing? And I go, oh, we're giving up books on yoga and meditation. Talks about how to get free from stress. And they go, can you go do it somewhere else? You know, or they say, somebody said you're asking for money. And I said, yeah, I do, but nobody's given. I always tell them that. I say, we don't sell the books. We take a donation. I said, but nobody gives. And if you watch me, walk me in a parking lot for a while, it's not that everybody gives. many people just aren't interested or don't want to give money. And I always give them the books. I say, will you read the book if I give it to you? And a lot of them say, yeah, sure, I like the book. I just don't want to give you any money. And what are you going to do? So I told them, I don't recommend anybody quitting their job and going out and doing what I do. But if you participate in Sangirtan, Lord Nityananda will make an arrangement for you. He always has for me. My father used to tell me, you got to get a job. You're not going to have any Social Security. How are you going to live? You're not going to have a pension. What's the matter with you? What are you, stupid? And I'm like, no, Dad, I have you. Because he'd buy me a car, and I'd say, see, Krishna provides. And my dad would say, what are you talking about, Krishna? I provided. I bought that car. I go, yeah, but Krishna gave me you. I was his favorite son, and he bought me 13 cars in my Hare Krishna. And what did I do with those 13 cars? I went on a sankirtan. He came out in the airport because he had to see it. You know, he wanted to see, what the heck are you doing in the airport? So one of his business friends and him came up and watched me for a while. And his business friend gave me his card. He goes, I'm impressed. You could sell anything. And my father was so proud. Look at my son out here wearing a wig. He doesn't even have a shaved head. He's got hair. My dad goes, make up your mind. You know, you're going to be a monk or you want to have hair. What's your problem? But you know, we were nuts. But what are you going to do? Distributed a lot of books. And I got a lot of mercy for doing it. And I feel really grateful to Prabhupada for letting me engage in it. And every single time I get to do it, I feel appreciative. I say a lot of prayers out there. On the way out, I listen to my Prabhupada box. And when I'm walking around that parking lot, I'm singing Udilo or Nadia Nagari Nite or something to remind me what I'm doing. I'm not my body. I'm not my false ego. Because people have real problems with false ego. Sometimes I take people out. They go, I want to go out on Sankirtan dip. And I take them out, and they get out there, and they freak out because you have to walk up to somebody and say hi. And they're just like, I can't do it. And I'm like, sorry, I don't know what to tell you. That's what you have to do. You have to cross that line of your own comfort zone. I don't really have a problem with that because I'm Irish and I'm a loudmouth idiot. And I don't mind walking up to somebody. If they say something bad to me, I just go, great, thanks a lot, man. You're right. I am an idiot. The guy said the other day, he goes, I can't believe you do this. I've seen you do this before. And I go, buddy, I've been doing this for 53 years. What? It's weird. It's not ordinary. And somewhere out here in this world, there's a trail of books that I've left, and somebody's going to read them. And even if they don't read them, Prabhupada said if they just touch it, they get benefit. And just like we read in the Mahatmya, that if you read a quarter sloka, it's like giving 10,000 cows. Anyway. I'm going to ask if anybody has anything to add or any questions. This would be the time. Otherwise, I'm going to keep talking.
Can I share my experience of Sankirtan?
Please.
Okay,
wait for the mic.
So my service. I do office to office, and each floor has security guard. And
you sure do.
To get into the office, you have to know someone that's inviting you. And somehow or other, Krishna give you a name. And I use that name, whatever Krishna in my heart telling me. And there's a person, that name that Krishna give me. And so just to get into the building. And then once I'm in the building, then I will clean the whole floor. But the amazing part is I clean the like 25th floor from, you know, I distributed all of them. But the amazing thing is the guard can never see me. I mean, they report, oh, there's somebody, you know, here.
And they couldn't find you.
But they cannot find me. I'm wearing a sari. And I even walk in front of him, they cannot find me. And I still go back because you know, you cannot finish the whole building.
Tell me how to do that, will you? I want that. I want them.
So somehow or other, Krishna is covering.
Invisibility cloak.
So they cannot see. They cannot kick me out. So I ended up cleaning the whole building.
Die.
And, you know, I approach all the manager.
Well, I end up going store to store when they come out and say, you can't do this here, get out of here. And I go, okay, and then they go back in, and then I go store to store, inside the stores. And it's funny sometimes because depending on who's the manager that day, they may be nice or they may not be nice, but I always do that. And I always find it an adventure because you're walking right into their store. You never know what they're going to say. But it usually works out pretty good. Well, they see me, though. I don't know how you got away with it. Maybe I should wear a sari. I'm going to have to. I'll put on a sari, cover my head. I swear, if I could be invisible, I'd wear a sari. There's times I want to be invisible. They come after me. I'm like, oh, here they come. You know, you just never know what they're going to do. Usually they're pretty cool, but they have this new thing where they book you at the car. The police come and they take a picture and they fingerprint you right at the car. And they say, if you ever come back and do this here again, we're going to arrest you. Like I'm hurting somebody. You know what I mean? All I did was give them a book and a lollipop. How bad is that? I mean, there's people out there running people over in their cars. There's people out there carjacking cars, robbing liquor stores, doing all kinds of horrible things. And they find a guy who's giving out lollipops and a book, and they want to arrest him. Anyway, welcome to my life. We have a question. Thank you. Thanks for that. Invisible Sankirtan.
Hare Krishna. I always enjoy your classes, and it always too also makes me think of the successful times that I've had. I gift books. I'm not a book distributor. I was more.
Yes, you are.
But I like to give people, and like I know, everybody I know has a book with a big note in the front, you know, I love you, I'm your servant, whatever. And I just wanted to just ask you, challenging from a mundane perspective, not mine, because I've experienced, you know, like you said, the gift that Lord Chaitanya gives us and how he arranges things, it's amazing. It really
is. It's mystical.
It'll blow your mind, even though you're not even the one. You're like, whoa, dude.
Absolutely.
Buckle up, dude. You know, whoever you're giving the book to. But I just want to, sometimes my mind will flash and I'll think, like, somebody from the outside looking in from a mundane perspective, what if they challenge you and they're like, this guy is saying he's enlightened and telling you that his books are from God, so you're going and doing God's work and making money, like he's tricking you, you know? So like, how would you approach somebody that sees this from an atheist perspective, that you're, what, you know, you're doing as a service, that everything, if everything's holy, or everything's divinified, then you're tricked into doing it for something?
Unfortunately, whenever there's money involved, people just go nuts. If I was out there with a table just giving out free Bhagavad Gita's or something, I don't think it would be so, people would take it so, they get so weird. But there's a verse in here that talks about the money. In the earning, attainment, increase, protection, expense, loss, and enjoyment of wealth, all men experience great labor, fear, anxiety, and delusion. Even a man's brother, wife, parents, and friends united with him in love will immediately break off their affectionate relationships and become enemies over a single coin. Your wife, your brothers, loved ones, one coin, you ripped me off. I get that a lot. You're a ripoff. Why are you asking for money? Everywhere you go, they're asking for money. You go walk in Walmart, they're not giving you stuff. You go in there, buy some plastic from China, it costs you $20. My point is that when you get this, you got something. And, you know, I've been giving books to people forever. And I used to get criticized because back in the day, you had to get $5 a book. You know, at the end of the day, if you did 50 books, you had to turn in $250. Otherwise, like, what? Lame, you know. So, but I always, when I met people that liked the book and they didn't have any money, I'd give it to them. So, and I'd met this guy. This guy was in the Philadelphia airport. He told me the story in St. Augustine. And he met me in the airport, and I gave him the Bhagavad Gita. He told me, he said, I told you I didn't have any money, and you gave me the Bhagavad Gita. And he said, you know what I'm reading now? I said, what? And he said, Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's what happens when you give somebody a book. The sky's the limit. It's up to them, you know. The ball's in their court. They can do whatever they want with it. They can throw it away, or they can give it to a friend. I remember when Jiva joined, his friend got a book, and he came home and he said, what is this? And he gave it to Jiva. Jiva came to join the temple. That's the power of Prabhupada. Prabhupada's in these books. Krishna is the book. So when people ask me, you know, negative questions, challenging questions, I just let it go. I just go, hey, I say, watch me for 10 minutes. Nobody's giving me any money. What are you worried about? Because it's all about the money. That's all that matters. They don't care about somebody reading a Hare Krishna book. They care that somebody's taking money, and they ain't getting none of it. They're envious. What are you going to do? It's Kali Yuga, Munda, Sumunda, Munda. They're slow. They're very slow. They're unfortunate, and they're always uptight. Since ever. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Whereas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu got chased.
That's the deal.
I mean, if you compare that.
That's part of the life. Yeah. Or you get hit on the head,
it's
and you bleed.
Fight.
You know, Lord Chaitanya, without any questions asked, showed up to kill him. And Nityananda said, no. Don't kill him. If you kill him, you have to kill them all. And I remember that out there. When I meet demons, crazy people, I just think, it's Kali Yuga. What are you going to do? I can't kill them. I'll have to kill them all. And it's not my job to kill
them. Can you imagine this happen in India?
At Srivasangam, they wanted to break his house and throw it in the Ganga. So if, I can't expect him to be nicer than that here. These crazy beef-eating psychopaths. Sorry. I mean, really, people are animals. They're acting like animals. I meet them all the time.
Keep going, Dibbanga Prabhu.
I'm not going to stop.
Distributing books.
I pray, let me do this till I die. I want to hand somebody a book one day and just drop dead right there in the parking lot. And what happened to Div? I don't know. He went on saying I never came back.
And there will be boycott to airplane.
Prabhu's, thank you.
Hare
thank
Krishna,
you so much. Hare
Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna. Hare, Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare, Hare.
Dibbanga Prabhu's book distribution ki jai.
Hare Krishna.
Ki
jai Prabhupada.
Hare Nam Sankirtan ki jai.
I want to leave you with this. Prabhupada says here, he said this in 1972. My Guru Maharaj used to say, don't waste time. Don't wait for another life. In this life, finish this business. Understand Krishna. Go back home, back to Godhead. That is required. Yeah, that's exactly where that is. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Vancha Kalpa.